Here's what no one tells you about saying no. Knowing that you should is actually not the hard part. The hard part comes the moment someone is standing right in front of you expecting a yes, and you have to decide who you're going to be in that moment. I'm Dr. Jennifer Edwards, and welcome to the Resilient Vet Podcast, Mind and Body Strategies for Success. If you're new here, hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to have you here with us. This is part two of our Wired to Say Yes series. And in part one, we went into what I call the inner game, where the inability to say no actually comes from. Why it started long before veterinary school, and what it's actually costing you over time. If you haven't listened to that episode, I encourage you to go back and find it and hit play, and it provides a great context for today. However, today's episode also stands alone, so keep listening. Wherever you're coming from, you are in the exact right place. So today, we are talking about the outer game. What does it actually look like to stick to what you need when someone else is pushing back? How do you stop feeling responsible for everyone else's reactions to your no? And how does this connect to the core element, a framework for intentional life and leadership that I've created? So that's where we're headed. Welcome, and let's get into it. So as I said, I'm Dr. Jennifer Edwards. I have been a veterinarian for a long time, and I am now a certified leadership coach. And I'm someone who works with veterinary professionals and leaders on understanding and influencing what drives how we show up in our careers and in our lives. I work with people individually with coaching, and I speak and work with teams and organizations on building cultures where people can actually thrive. You can find me and grab my free Wired to Say Yes self-assessment at drjenniferedwards.com. Aaron?
Yes, thank you. My name is Aaron Shaw. I am an occupational therapist, strength and conditioning specialist, and coach and consultant to vet professionals and teams who want to be more physically and emotionally durable and ultimately thrive in vet med. I really get tired of seeing great people in vet med burn out, get injured, and leave a profession that they care deeply about. And I knew that something could be done, something more than just your standard wellness talk and really focusing on systems. And so I created Project VetSpan. Project VetSpan helps leaders build healthier, stronger, more durable teams. You can find me on projectvetspan.com. And if you want to have a little something in your inbox every couple of weeks on my homepage at projectvetspan.com, you can sign up and join a durable vet brief where I send out very simple tip sheets every couple of weeks that focus on exercise, nutrition, sleep, emotional well-being, ergonomics, things that can really help you thrive in the challenging field of veterinary medicine. But I'm excited for this episode because this is part two. So the last episode, which I would encourage everybody to go back and listen to, kind of a cliffhanger, but let's move into this. We're on episode two here. And Jennifer, a lot of people listening may have heard part one, but some may be coming in fresh today. So either way, let's take a moment and maybe set the stage. I think what really makes this conversation different from the typical is that this is a little bit more than just set personal boundaries, which we hear often, but where are we starting from here today?
Yeah, well, as we talked about last time, you know, the ability or the lack thereof to say no in veterinary medicine can be a big problem for a lot of people, right? There are demands coming at us from all different places, you know, colleagues, employers, clients, our families, you know, everywhere. And the reason that it's actually hard to say no is not necessarily because of the situation that's in front of us at that moment. Like sometimes it is, obviously, but a lot of times it's not. It's more about what we believe in ourselves and what we think saying no means about us, right? So as I mentioned in the part one of this series is that This is wiring, and you know, this is a belief system inside of us that starts very early, long before veterinary school. It's really about growing up and being, you know, in what we think is what we need to earn approval, to feel worthy, to stay safe. And then what happens is the veterinary profession selects for people who are wired to say yes, right? We were wired to get good grades and say yes to this and yes to that and yes, 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 so that we can really excel and stand out so that we can get into vet school. And so we're already inclined to accommodate. And then what happens is we enter the training and then it all gets amplified even further, right? So the important point here is that the root of all of this is actually inside of us, not outside of us, inside of the or not outside of us in the circumstances that we're currently facing. That being said, and the reason I point this out again real quick is that the work to do is not about the situation. It's not about like, well, I just need a script about what to say. The work is really about, it's more internal. But in reality, I'm calling it the outer game, right? Because it's how what's inside of us is showing up out there in a situation and how we're interacting. So it's about the ability to act from a more grounded and self-aware place, even in moments where there's a lot of pressure, there's expectation, there's pushback coming at us. And so how do we cultivate that ability to actually be grounded and self-aware? And this is an example of exactly where my framework comes into play. It's called the core element, and it becomes very, very useful. And as I mentioned, it's a framework for intentional life and leadership. We spoke about it in depth in a previous episode, and I really encourage people to go back and listen to that, because when applied, it can be very powerful to really start to shift your life. So real quick again, just so we have the context, CORE stands for conscious awareness, ownership, response, and expression. And where a lot of us get stuck is in between the conscious awareness, which is, okay, I can see what's happening. I know that I want to say no, but actually doing anything about it. And then ownership becomes that bridge, that taking responsibility for what we do next, so that we intentionally influence the response and the expression or the outcome that we end up with. So today, we're going to apply that directly to this particular conversation.
That word no is so powerful and a little bit intimidating and a little bit uncomfortable to hear, I think, for many of us. And it's really something that I think really trips us up probably more than anything else. And in part of that is, if we're saying no, I'm a little concerned about how other people are going to respond to that. I think it's for me, it's if I say no, am I letting somebody down? Is somebody going to be disappointed in me? Are they going to be upset at me? Are they going to change their opinion of me? And I think in vet med, especially where it's a very highly emotional business to be in, stressful business to be in, super demanding, and you know, leadership demands and colleagues, and everybody seems to be stretched thin. And so it seems like the fallout from saying no may actually feel like there's more trouble than it's worth. And maybe I'll just say yes or just nod and do it, even though this part of me wishes I had the fortitude to say no. What do people do with that?
Yeah. And that's a really good point, because you're right. I mean, in vet med and actually in life, right? Sometimes it is easier to just say yes, because fine, whatever, I'll work Saturday. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to deal with it. Or I'll just, yes, fine, have the client bring the dog in at 5:30. So, and when done in isolation, okay, right? So the problem is when this becomes habitual, this becomes the way we live. And it really is one of the most important distinctions, is that if we decide, if we choose to say no, to understand that that is actually a choice. Yes is also a choice. I'm not saying that we never say yes again. Of course, we're here to work as a team and to take care of animals. But understanding that you are not responsible for other people's emotional response to your no, if no is what's right for you. What we are responsible for, each one of us, is to be clear, to be fair, to be reasonable, to accommodate sometimes, to compromise, to play as a team, but not to continually manage other people's upset at the expense of ourselves. So I have an example, and this was just such a perfect example of this with one of my clients, my coaching clients. So this particular client worked in a very, very, very busy environment. Really, even for somebody like me who's been in this profession for a very long time, I'm listening, I was like, oh my gosh, like crazy. Very minimal staff, like her and two or three other people, like 20 patients, not exaggerating, most critical, several waiting for surgery, a dog literally needing CPR, animals in oxygen cages. And, oh, sorry, we couldn't staff a CSR that night. And despite getting through all of that by I don't know how, they get sat down on Monday morning and get spoken to because there was a point in time when no one answered the phone. So it's literally impossible conditions. I mean, you cannot be doing CPR and answering a phone. And given the two situations, you know, you obviously choose the more important one, which is saving a life. But it didn't matter. No matter what they did, they were wrong. And what was happening is that she was doing this dance of constantly trying to prevent leadership from getting upset. And so it was this added stress. She watched everything she said. She was like, what should I do? Like, blah, blah. She couldn't focus on her work. And what she finally realized is that, okay, like, I'm not responsible for them getting upset about a situation that they created. Like, if they want the phone answered, then they can staff a CSR. Like, and if I'm available, we'll answer. This team is available, we'll answer the phone. It's just not a refusal. But given these priorities, sometimes it's not going to get answered, and that's not on me, right? So it's part of this choosing to let go of what we don't really have to own. Because when we start to fully take ownership for other people's reactions, especially in circumstances like that that they created, then we're actually abandoning ourselves. Like, she was abandoning herself and her mental health, trying to prevent an upset that actually wasn't preventable. So, and that's just an example, but it applies to so many situations in our lives. And I just feel like it's important to call that out and bring that to awareness so that people can go, oh, you know what? Like, in a moment, is this mine or is this theirs? And understanding that there's a choice. So it's about, you know, the ownership piece of core is about owning our choices, owning our responses, owning our parameters of what works for me, what doesn't, but not necessarily always owning other people's feelings about them. And again, I'm not trying to imply that you walk around not caring what anybody else thinks about anything. Not at all, because we do work as a team. But I'm talking about these particular situations where it's not in our best interest. So being reasonable, being willing to compromise, absolutely. Very important and critical for working in a team and getting through this environment. But bending into the point where we literally want to break is not okay. And that's what leads to burnout. That's where we lose our sense of self, our sense of identity, and our resilience.
Yeah, those are all good points. And I think that sometimes we compromise too much. I mean, so much that it's ultimately sabotaging, you know, ourselves, our own well-being. And, you know, a lot of what we talk about on this podcast is our resilience. Like, how can vet professionals stay healthy throughout a career? And sometimes these decisions and, you know, compromising too much and not saying that two-letter word, no, and just always giving and always giving is actually fast-tracking themselves out of the profession, ultimately. And right. So I think that it's a challenge for all of us, and certainly a big challenge in vet med. So those are all really good points. I do want to make a point too, because last time you talked a little bit about maybe personal preference versus deal breakers, like this concept of personal preferences versus deal breakers. And I think that in the heat of the moment, with the chaos, and you laid out one of your coaching clients has had a very clear moment of chaos, or an evening of chaos, which sounds terrible. But what is the difference between the two? Like what is the difference, and what is the significance between the two? How do you deal with this?
Yeah. So again, I do talk about this more in the first part of this series, but just to reiterate, these are two really important concepts, at least in my opinion. So we have our preferences, right? With the things that we really prefer the way they are. And in general, the more preferences that we can have fulfilled, the better. Do we need all of our preferences filled? No. Does the schedule have to be exactly what I want it to be? No. So this is where there's give and take, right? So there's things that we'd rather not do or rather have in place, but we can consciously choose to accommodate it, right? Without it costing us anything essential about our well-being or our mental health. So they're negotiable. So if my preference is to never work on a Saturday, but you know, there's a job, it's great, I love the people there, but it requires me to work one Saturday a month. Okay, I might say I'd prefer not, but I can handle that. And then that's just one of the things I have to give up in order to work at this practice. And so I'm choosing to do that. A deal breaker, on the other hand, is just a no-go, right? Like, or at least it should be. These are things that when crossed, especially repeatedly, will actually compromise your well-being, your integrity, your morality, the things that keep you up at night. And like you just mentioned, the things that can ultimately drive you right out of this profession, right? So it can get confusing in the moment. And that's why, again, kind of like what you say about the veterinary athlete, right? It's all about being prepared ahead of time before you help lift the 70-pound dog onto the x-ray table, right? It's the same thing with the inner work. And it's about understanding for yourself, what are your deal breakers? What right now might just be preferences that you think are deal breakers that maybe you would actually be okay giving a little on? Or what things might you be giving a little on that you shouldn't be because they're deal breakers and they're going to catch up to you, right? But when you're in the moment, when somebody's asking you of something, or in some cases demanding something of you that is a deal breaker for you, like being very clear on that so that you can respond appropriately and not be swept away, overwhelmed, flustered. Because what happens is that under pressure, we as humans go into default mode, default patterns, default responses, default triggers, default everything. And as veterinary professionals, most of us, not all of us, but most of us, oftentimes that default is yes. And so nothing wrong with yes when it's an intentional. And so I'll bring in the word, you know, I've used before, very important here is the word conscious. Because when we consciously, intentionally, with awareness, whatever of those words resonate for you, say yes to something that we'd prefer not to do, it's a choice, right? It's, I chose to work these Saturdays. It still doesn't mean that I want to or that I like it, but I'm choosing it so I can live with it. I can be okay with it. When we feel like we have no say, when we have the idea or the experience that we have no agency, we have no say, we have no choice, we're disempowered, then we start to become victim to our circumstances. Things become imposed upon us. That's when stress becomes chronic. That's when our resilience goes down. A lot of this really is not about the situation. It's about the mindset around the situation. Because very often the experience is real, and I'm not negating people's experiences when they truly, truly feel like they don't have a choice. But we always have a choice. And that's what's important to recognize. Now, you might not like your choices, and there might be consequences of both choices, and you don't want either one of them. So it feels like you don't have a choice, but you do have a choice. And that is where our agency, our ownership, our empowerment comes from. So like, here's an extreme example, right? Like if I was working somewhere as a veterinarian and leadership was asking me to do something that would harm an animal, okay? And if I did not do that, I would be fired. I would choose to be fired, right? Both of those outcomes are highly undesirable. Like, I can't, oh my gosh, I get fired. Where's my health insurance? Where's my money? Where, like, I've got to pay loans. Like, oh my gosh, what do I do? So I'm faced with a choice, both of which are undesirable, but I know that harming an animal is an absolute deal breaker for me. So even though it's like, well, I have no choice, what am I supposed to do? I do have a choice. I can choose to leave the job, or I can choose to do something that I don't agree with, right? But either way, it's a choice. Now, it's unfortunate when we're put into situations to be forced into choices that are not good like that. And so that's a whole nother conversation about like, well, if that's happening, maybe that's not the right place for you. But the point is that we have choices, and understanding our preferences versus our deal breakers allows us to ask ourselves the question, am I tolerating this because I'm choosing to, or because I don't believe that I have a choice? And out there in the world, everybody looking at us, they don't know the difference. We're just smiling and going along. But the difference occurs on the inside, because one feels like an empowered decision and one feels like a trap and one feels like we're stuck and then we're victimized. And it's a very, very different experience with very different repercussions in the long run. And just not going to go into this in a lot of detail, but just throwing out one little subcategory beyond a deal breaker, and that's toxicity and abuse. And that's a whole nother ballgame. And I just, and honestly, my example really falls into the abuse category when you're asking somebody to like do something that bad. But again, it was an extreme example. These are never okay. These are never things to consider acceptable or to be turning onto yourself, like self-gaslighting into figuring out how you should be finding a way to accommodate toxicity and abuse. So it's not okay. Nobody deserves it. And we will be covering this all by itself in another episode, because I think it's that important.
Yeah, I'd agree. Probably deserves its own attention. It's kind of heartbreaking to think that there's environments that are like that. I know there are, but it's kind of ridiculous in this day and age.
Yeah.
So let's bring this home. You talk about the core, again, the C-O-R-E, with the E being the expression piece. But where does all this land in the real world? What does saying no actually look like, assuming you're grounded in all this? And I would also be curious to think, like, what does it look like for somebody who may be practicing saying no for the first time? Maybe they're kind of new to that idea, and I can imagine the very real emotional challenge and the internal friction, I guess, on saying, I can't say yes anymore because I'm going to break and I'm trying to, you know, regain some control. What does that look like in the real world?
Yeah. And that's a really good point that you bring up, because for a lot of people, this is a new skill and there's a lot of fear associated with it. You know, fear for real consequences, like we talked about, like now, but a lot of fear that's steeped in the past, right? Like I said, this starts long before veterinary school. So as I mentioned, expression is where, you know, we bring conscious awareness, we take ownership, we put our responses, you know, our thoughts, our actions, all the things out, and we end up with an outcome, right? I call that expression. It's the expression of the result out into the world, out into your life. So it's, like I said, it's sometimes it's like the scariest part of all of it. Like, how do I speak so that I'm clear and not defensive and I'm firm without being rigid and people don't think I'm unwilling to be part of the team? And sometimes people outright get accused of, You know, if you don't do this, then you're not part of the team, like that shaming, the gaslighting that goes on inside of all of this. And like being able to stand in your authentic self and actually be honest and kind at the same time, like that all takes a lot of practice. So what it could look like, you know, just as an example, a few principles. One is to learn how to acknowledge another person. And again, this is practicing before you're in the moment. Like, what is being asked of you? Acknowledge it. Not because you're agreeing to it, but because everybody wants to be heard, even a person who may in the moment even may not be being that nice to you. So you can say something like, I hear that you need X, before you say, and that's not going to work for me, right? So if they say, I need you to work, you know, every Saturday this month, instead of just saying, no, like, I'm not doing that, it's not fair. You know, you could say, okay, so what I'm hearing is that you want me to work every Saturday this month. Okay. And I get that we're short staffed and that's not going to work for me, you know, blah, blah, blah. Being very simple in our conversations. And this is something for me personally that I still am working on. Like, and I've come a long way. Boy, it's the way I used to be. It was crazy the way I used to be with not being simple, over-explaining, over-apologizing, being deferential. And that's, for those of us that's a habit, it's really hard to break because we do it without even realizing, well, I'm really sorry, but I have this and I have that and da-da-da-da-da-da, like all of the explanation. It's really not needed, right? Like the over-accommodating, the over-apologizing and explaining basically allows room for negotiation. You're opening doors for conversations that you probably don't even really want to have, and it's not necessary. Well, I know this is kind of silly, but like one of the best ways that I've been learning is I've been using AI. You know, AI is not us. AI does not replace us, but AI is a tool. And it has been so helpful for me. I give it my email drafts and I say, show me where I'm being deferential. Show me where I'm over explaining. And it's like, wow, some of the times I don't even realize I'm doing it. So that's a skill to start working on, and also offering an alternative. Right? Like, I hear that you know, Dr. Smith just left and that you really want me to work every Saturday. My agreement was that I would work one Saturday a month. And I understand that's important. I can't do that. However, what I can do is maybe for the next 3 months, I will work two Saturdays, you know, if you would like me to. Like, so it's saying, I can't do this, but I can do that. I can't take your Saturday, but I could work Monday if that would be helpful, right? So sometimes offering an alternative allows then the choice to go back to the other person. So just some broad examples. So if you're talking with somebody in leadership, I understand you want me to take this on. I currently have A, B, and C, and here's situation. I can take on X, the other thing, if we remove one of the first three things, or I can do X at the end of the week after those first three things are done. Which works better for you, right? So you're stating what you can and can't do, but you're also putting the choice back to them instead of just saying no. Like, I have too much on my plate. I can't do it. It's like, well, I can't do it now. However, I could do it next week or at the end of the week. And if you're with a client, you might say something like, I understand that this is what you were hoping for today. However, that's not something I can do. Here's what I can offer you instead. You know, maybe it's a medication. Maybe it's a different time for an appointment. Maybe it's, why don't we do this for today? And tomorrow I have time. If you want to come back, I can do that procedure for you or whatever. So sometimes offering people an alternative allows them to feel a little agency and like they have a choice and that you're not just saying no to them. Not required, though. I just want to emphasize that. You are not always required to give people an option. It's just something you can do. And, you know, throughout this, you want your tone to be clear, calm, again, not apologetic. Unless you truly do have something to apologize for, which most of the time we don't, but it doesn't mean that we have to sound cold and aggressive. Like, it's just about being grounded and about being clear and firm in what works and what doesn't work for us. So knowing yourself, being able to practice being honest, understanding if you think you're not deserving of it, like that's a whole separate place where you could do some work and start to explore that and figure that out. And all of this, my gosh, when we show up this way, we think we're being difficult or a burden. It's actually the opposite. When we show up very clear and grounded, it's actually a gift to people, even when we're saying no. They might not realize it, but it really is, because that they know what to do with that, right? Clear is kind, as Brené Brown likes to say. So I think this topic is very important. And, you know, I always like to reference future episodes that are kind of on the horizon. Toxicity will be one of them. And another episode I think I'm going to maybe bring forth is the language of no. Like how do we actually say it, right? Like here we've talked about why we have trouble saying it, you know, what's there for us in these two episodes. But, you know, somewhere coming up soon, I think we may really just dive into the actual semantics. So hopefully that will be helpful.
I would love that. I think that the no is the most powerful word that we can use. I think especially when we're those of us that are under pressure either constantly or intermittently, and we're in a health providing environment where saying no almost feels like I'm not helping another being. I'm not literally doing what I'm here to do. Like I'm here to help. And then to say no sounds counterintuitive as something an ask, for someone to ask you something. But at the same time, I think we've all can reference times when, and to speak personally, like there have certainly been many times where I just feel completely overwhelmed with all the things that are kind of on my plate and things that I'm supposed to do. And yet I'm the one who kind of serves my own plate. And so sometimes I realize like, oh yeah, I said yes to that. Oh, I said I would do this other thing. And here I am maybe feeling even a little bit resentful of people who, you know, gave me these things to put on my plate, but I'm the one who said yes. So I think no can be a very empowering and a very kind, as you said. I think for those around us, you know, clarity and even, you know, brevity, as you were saying, in a sense, like being crisp, clear, super respectful to whoever you're engaging with and respectful to yourself, it should be a win-win for everybody. And it's certainly in terms of like the resilience for a career and just for a reasonable, happy life, I think that it's super important. So I would love to do an episode on no. That kind of sounds. We're coming to a close here. So what we like to do is finish episodes and wrap things up with very specific, you know, action items, so to speak. So what do you want people either doing or thinking about as we close out this episode? What are two or three things that they should be thinking about after today?
Okay. So these action items I put together to be used immediately, to be very practical. There's a few different parts to it. So, you know, if possible, you may want to, somebody may write this down or just bookmark this to listen to it again. Because these are the types of things that it's not just like one and done. Like it's a constant exploration of self if one chooses to do that. So step one, take a current situation that you're dealing with and run it through the core framework, right? So what's a situation where you've been defaulting to saying yes, and walk it through. Like, what am I actually aware of here? What do I know but haven't acted on? What else might I not be aware of right now? Like, there's what we're aware of, and then there's like, but I'm having a lot of fear. Maybe I'm not aware of where that fear is coming from, or I, you know, feel guilty. Okay, maybe I'm not aware of where that guilt is coming from. So where might some increased awareness help me right now? And what do I own in this? Where would it serve me to take ownership, to take responsibility of what I'm bringing, of my life, of what my responsibilities are, to commitments, versus what is not mine to take, right? So ownership. And what is my intentional response, right? A response can be a thought. A response can be something you say. It could be something you do, like an action, It could be walking out of a room. It could be sitting down, standing up. It could be taking a breath and pausing, right? So what is the response that I want to bring in this moment, and with the projection of what do I want my outcome to be? You know, my ultimate, like in my life, right? So I don't want the outcome to be, in my example, that I work every Saturday. Because, you know, if somebody has a family or they have a hobby or whatever, you know, you don't need to justify it. That's not the outcome. The expression in their life is that they're working every Saturday is not what they want, right? So in order to shape what that outcome is, we can back up and influence the other letters so that our response is such that it's more likely to get us the outcome we're looking for. And like you said, that win-win, right? It's not about us just always getting our way. It's how does this become collaborative? How do we have a win-win so that it works out? And if the other party is not interested in that and they just want to get mad, we'll go back to the beginning of this episode. They're allowed to be angry. Like, you're not responsible for controlling their emotions, nor do they want you to. So just think about this, and you don't have to act just yet, but see what going through the framework helps you to surface and to see about the situation. Step two is name one thing you're tolerating and decide, am I tolerating it consciously, by choice, or by default? Be honest, you don't have to do anything about it, but are you choosing this with awareness, or are you saying yes because you feel like you don't have any options, or you're afraid of making somebody angry or upset? So again, that single distinction, choice, no choice, is something that can shift things inside of you before anything externally starts to change. And lastly, step three, practice the acknowledge and state the formula out loud before you need it, right? So again, in the moment, very hard to bring these things to life. We want to learn to acknowledge people, to state what we need, you know, in the car, by yourself, saying it out loud so that this terminology, and again, we'll do another episode with more of it, it starts to actually live in your body. It starts to become the way that you think, the way that you speak, not a script. You have to say, oh, what did she say to say, right? So you're alone in the car. You say, I hear that you need X, and that is not going to work for me. Say it 10 times. I hear that you need X and that is not going to work for me. Or I understand what you're asking and I am not able to do that. Right? Here's what I can offer. Repeat that over and over and change it. I'm not able to do that right now. I'm not, you know, but I can do this. Like, use your own words, but just say it over and over and over again. Again, the car is the best place when you're by yourself. So, you know, all just really important things in this topic of resilience and lasting physically, lasting mentally, you know, engaged in the profession, loving what we do. This is all so, so important. So if this series has resonated with you, I do have something for you. I mentioned earlier, it's the Wired to Say Yes self-assessment. Grab it on my website. It's a tool that walks you through where your yes wiring comes from and what your actual parameters are. So you know what's running the show and you know what's important to you. So again, drjenniferedwards.com, that's doctor with a DR. And if you're ready for more than an assessment, reach out to me. Like I said, I do private coaching, I work with teams, I do talks, workshops, all of it. And I would love to have a conversation to see how I can support you or your organization. So stay subscribed, listen to our other episodes, share with your friends. And Aaron, how can people find you?
You can find me at Aaron Shaw on LinkedIn. You can find me at projectvetspan.com. And again, I help people, individuals and teams, build physical and emotional durability in veterinary medicine. And above all else, appreciate everybody who's listened to this episode and other episodes. Again, please subscribe, like, share, and reach out to us if you have other show ideas. Love to hear from you.
Take care.
Cheers.